Next case is 1329 Bonnie Rolfe versus Tri-State Motor Transit Company. Mr. Basham.
Craig Basham, on behalf of the petitioner, still working here with my co-counsel, Paul Flowers. I would request just more of 3 minutes.
Watch your time there.
In 1993, the Honorable Court issued the seminal decision in Gallimore versus Children's Hospital Medical Center, recognizing that a minor child has a loss of consortium of height against a third party who causes physical injury to their parent. Today, Bonnie Rolfe and David Martin are asking this court to recognize that this cause of action exists for all children in Ohio, whether emancipated or minor, whether 17 years old or 19 years old, whether living at home or living down the street. By recognizing this cause of action, this court would acknowledge the logical implications of their holding with Gallimore. To answer the issue before the court in the negative would create dangers of arbitrariness and absurd results that currently exist in the law. For instance, living at home, an 18-year-old whose father was critically injured had no right of recovery as the law currently exists, but yet his 17 or 16-year-old sister or brother would have such a cause of action. And to draw an arbitrary line at age 18, when this court has recognized the sanctity of the nuclear family repeatedly in case law, and the Ohio legislature has recognized the sanctity of the nuclear family, I think creates arbitrariness.
What would if we were to extend Gallimore as you suggest on behalf of your client, what would an adult, emancipated adult, need to show to qualify to prove that there was indeed a loss of consortium?
Well, Justice Cook, as you're aware, this court did define what a consortium was in Gallimore. And keep in mind, obviously, the burden is still on that child to present their case and prove that there was a loss or damage. We're merely asking that.
A birth certificate wouldn't do it.
No, a birth certificate would.
It would be. There'd have to be this showing that there was some sufficient relationship to. Okay.
I believe there would have to be a close nexus that you established in any Gallimore case currently.
Nexus.
Well, a relationship between the child and the parent.
A personal relationship, correct. Different than a nexus.
Yeah.
The birth certificate's the nexus. Okay.
But we would agree that there would have to be beyond the birth certificate to entitle you to hear.
And a jury would be asked to evaluate the closeness of that relationship, or, you know, how many times you went to the movies with your parent or as an adult. I mean, that's exactly what we'd be asking the jury to assess. A dollar value for that you always had lunch with your dad on Tuesdays, or you shared these. You'd have to really go into all that to prove it, wouldn't you?
I think you would, and I think what we're asking the jury to evaluate is not the relationship itself, but the impact on the injury to the relationship. And clearly, in the case of a severely injured father or parent, you're talking about potentially some mental damages if that relationship exists. Obviously, if a child is for 20 years has lived in the state of California and they have a parent in Ohio, that's a certainly different claim than if a child who lives down the street and spends much of their time with their parent.
The modern view of loss of consortium is society and companionship. So, would you project it with an adult child? You could even include that loss of projected grandparent position and all of those kind of things.
Well, I think there have been legitimate concerns raised at where you draw the line. But in Gallimore, I think this court did draw the line. This court held that that line is drawn at the parent-child relationship. This court recognized the unique relationship of the parent-child.
Because we could see it extending out ad infinitum when I wrote Gallimore.
I did not sit on Gallimore, but I think I expressed my views in the dissent in High versus Howard, and those same views would apply to, that would involve a minor child, but it would apply to an adult child also.
Well, I think this court, in deciding Gallimore, if you look at the public policy reasons behind the majority opinion, I think if you look at those individual policies, nothing stops at age 18. In fact, in today's modern world, modern family in the 21st century, typically issues of support, issues of companionship, counseling, guidance, are just as important at age 18, 19, and 20 than they were when they're under age 18.
But not dependents, right? Consortium really is basically founded on dependents, isn't it? The minor child is dependent upon the parent who has been. That was the traditional view.
I think that was,
and we've changed from that. You're arguing that we've moved away from that.
I think this court has moved away from that. Chief Justice Moore, in all respect, I understand you did write the High decision, but I think the public policies that were expressed in Gallimore went further and said that this is not traditional support, that we're going to define this consortium beyond the traditional economic means or support means or service means, that we're going to talk about guidance, comfort, love, society, the type of damages that even are recognized in the Ohio Uncle Death Statute for a child. Think of a situation where you have a parent who's deceased. In that case, you have a child who's entitled under the Ohio Uncle Death Statute to recover damages for loss of society, yet the child who has a parent who lives day-to-day in a vegetative state, if Gallimore is drawing the line at age 18, has no recovery. And I think that creates a result that is arbitrary and unfair. I think the better notion is bring it in the open. Let these juries hear evidence. Let's instruct the juries properly on how to make decisions. This court in Gallimore, for instance, recognized that back in Fawcett, when we talked about a wife's consortium claim, that they have the utmost competence. You have the utmost competence in juries to make these decisions to avoid double recovery. But I've been involved in a lot of trials, and I know everyone on this bench has. But we all know the juries, despite getting instructions currently, some jurors are deciding that the adult children should get compensation and adding it into the parents' claim, and some are not.
Deciding and writing of Gallimore, the adult parent-child relationship was thought about. But it was not in that case, and therefore it couldn't be reached at that point. And one of the thoughts would be, and I guess this is my concern in this case, would we say an adult child who was in fact dependent on a parent, when the parent is then injured, does the adult child have a loss of consortium with regard to the loss of the parent, losing the parent? And if you're going to say yes, because the child is dependent, then we make a special classification for physically challenged, let's say, adult children as opposed to, quote, non-physically challenged adult children, and that distinction becomes artificial.
I think that's very dangerous if you did draw an arbitrary line there, and I recognize your opinion in Gallimore. I think it was beyond those elements of consortium, beyond dependency. When you look at ADA, the handicapped children, for instance, there's fights over what's handicapped. I think the better approach is that all children should have the right to present a claim, an opportunity to be heard. And I know this court has the utmost confidence in the jury's ability to follow the law and those instructions.
The counsel, the definition from Gallimore of loss of consortium does not in any way include dependency, which would be a whole different aspect, wouldn't it? I mean, loss of consortium is defined in Gallimore to include society, comfort, guidance, counsel, affection. So it's touchy-feely stuff. Dependency is a different claim. And a dependent, I mean, we aren't presented with that, but dependency is a different claim.
I would agree with you in that regard. And what I was trying to suggest, though, to Justice Douglas, though, is that based on the definition in Gallimore, that these are issues and these are losses that apply to all children, whether dependent or not dependent.
Yeah. But obviously, we want to keep dependency out of it because then you get distinctions that aren't at issue. Right?
I think drawing the line of dependency.
Because you can have an adult dependent. Right. That's.
I would agree, Justice Cook. But I think drawing the line of dependency is just as dangerous as an arbitrary result as age 18. I think all children, based upon a final law of wrongful death, descendant distribution, for instance, we all know. That, for instance, the parent and the child are given priority by the state. This Ohio legislature, while historically has stayed away from the issue of consortium, left that issue to this court to decide, both with wife and child, over the years of the common law. They have recognized the unique relationship in the descent distribution statute and the Ohio wrongful death statute.
Well, not to quibble here, but. The term dependency doesn't mean just economic dependence. The elements that you've stated and that are usually stated now for loss of consortium really arise out of our artificial distinction by statute. At 18 years old, a person is an adult. If only all 18-year-olds would act like adults, but we know that many still need guidance. They still need comfort. But we say as a matter of law that at 18, there's no obligation to provide that. Obviously, parents still provide it. But isn't that a reason to make the distinction that there's no longer an obligation after 18 to provide all of these things, or most of the things that we call consortium? Certainly love extends beyond, but the guidance and the nurturing and so forth, that's legally thought to end at 18.
Justice Moore, in response, I think the loss that one suffers in the consortium doesn't arise out of a legal obligation. I think it's a moral obligation that a parent has to a child has to a parent. In addition, you raise the point at age 18. As we know, the Ohio legislature, since these cases were originally addressed many years ago, has even recognized by statute that the legal obligation of support goes beyond age 18. When a child is in college, for instance, during divorce proceedings. This court, the Ohio legislature, I believe, the fine line of age 18 being a notion that suddenly at 18 you're done, I think has become a much grayer line as time has gone on. And in modern families, I believe that the child and the parent's relationship, even after age 18, can become just as strong. Why should a 19-year-old who has the same relationship with their parent not be entitled to recover if they're away at college or they're living down the street when their parent suffers a tragic injury when their 17-year-old brother or sister has that right? Or think of another, what if a child's parent suffers an injury 2 or 3 days before their 18th birthday? Does the jury be instructed, if this court answered this question in the negative this before today, that they're only entitled to damages for 2 or 3 days up until their 18th birthday? Justice Moyer, I understand, obviously, that you authored the high opinion in 1992, but if Gallimore is the law of Ohio, which it currently is, let's extend it to its logical implications.
Do you agree with, I'm more concerned about the number of jurisdictions that seem to be contrary to your view than I am about my own opinion. Do you agree with the appellee's brief in which he indicates that it seems to me a vast majority of jurisdictions that have considered this still say that an adult child cannot recover consortium?
I do not agree with that description with all respect to my opponent. I think a number of states, if you look at it, first of all, some don't recognize minor children as a loss of claim. So if they're not going to recognize minor, they certainly aren't going to recognize adults. But you got to throw those states out of the mix. also, if you look at the cases they quoted, many of the Supreme Courts never addressed this issue. We're before this court with a clean slate. This court has never suggested that an adult child does not have a loss of consortium claim since Gallen. Yet, the respondent in this case has argued that Ohio is one of many states that have flatly rejected such a claim. And I think when you look at it and analyze it with the states that have actually addressed the issue, by way of the Supreme Court, it's about to split 50-50. And when you look at the reasoning for those courts, and then look at the reasoning of the Gallimore decision, I think it compels the conclusion that
it's a matter of mechanics. This case is a standalone case, as I understand it.
I'm sorry.
This is a standalone case.
Right? Yes.
Would it be possible, and would not it be, because it's ordinary, if this cause of action is recognized, that it would be combined with the parent's action against the tort cases in the same litigation?
Your Honor, in this case, I don't know if the pleadings were clear. I see my time is up.
So you can finish
the question. In this case, the children, by way of mediation, did present a claim for damages, which was rejected by the defendant. There was a conscious decision not to compensate the children. At that point, it was clear that the children would be pursuing litigation. But if this court had previously issued, as it relates to Gallimore holding, that those claims should be brought together. And this court has indicated that those claims should be heard together. There's ample case law in Ohio that there has to be a legitimate, compelling reason for them to be split or bifurcated. So I don't believe this would result in multiple litigation or duplicity of litigation.
Thank you, Mr. Bashine. Mr. Haywood.
Thank you, Your Honor. This is a issue which I believe that it's been litigated around the country. We undertook in our brief survey of law on this issue and have attempted to synthesize the results for you. My take on it is that only a few jurisdictions have recognized the claim that the petitioners have asked you to recognize today.
In your research, Mr. Haywood, did you do the synthesizing that your opponent suggests, that as among states that have a Gallimore in their library, where those states? And did you find states that had this scenario we were presented with, having approved the, as we had in Gallimore, then where did they go with the next step?
As I recall, there are 7 jurisdictions itemized in our brief which have recognized this claim. The balance have not. And Ohio State, is included in the majority in the form of a long string of court of appeals decisions involving claims by parents whose adult children have been injured. The parents then asserting a loss of consortium claim.
Did you mean by saying that the others have not, that there are 43 states that have specifically said that adult children cannot have this cause of action?
No, sir, I don't think I mean that.
Well, you indicated that the rest have not, which would indicate to me that they have specifically spoken on that subject.
To the best of our ability, we cited all of those cases.
And how many have you cited?
I think we cited cases from all 53 jurisdictions.
In all? You just stated that 7 have allowed and the rest have not. And I just wondered if the rest have not, if they specifically say that they do not, that they are unable to have a cause of action.
No, sir. Okay. That is not what it's meant.
All right.
I do not mean to say that 46 jurisdictions have looked at this question and said that it should be answered with a negative.
It seems that's what you indicated.
I don't mean to indicate it, pardon me. At any rate, to date, the state of Ohio, with two exceptions that I know of, the cases which have considered this issue or this issue closely related to it have held that this question should be answered in the negative.
Counsel, if we were to answer it in the affirmative, would that apply, since that is not to enforce, it would work in reverse, that is the parent of an adult would have an opportunity for a set cause of action with respect to injury to an adult child?
I think that that would depend on what this court holds in this case. The only issue
that might logically follow, but that's not an issue that we can reach in this case.
I think it could be reached in this case. But
it would seem there should be uniformity on this question going both ways, would it not? Parent to child, child to parent.
I think that certainly could be argued, yes.
Then my other question relates to the practical issue. Do you agree with the opposing counsel that the norm for the handling of this, if this claim were to be recognized, would be for the children to present their claim in the same cause of action, the same litigation that the parent undertakes to seek recovery for his or her injury?
I think that certainly would be done, yes, sir.
And then, would it not, as a matter of strategy, as an experienced counsel, would it not, as a matter of strategy, take some imbalance away as to whether or not the relationship, if this claim were recognized, extended to Gallimore definition of what is recoverable or extended to adults? What do you think is a matter of strategy in many cases because the relationship is not that close that counsel would advise the children just opt out, not present the claim because it could diminish the jury's view of the merit overall? In other words, mom or dad's claim is pretty good, but it looks like we have some malingering children trying to cash in when they didn't really have a relationship that might equate with any substantial economic justification for any substantial economic reward. Better to have them just not bring the claim than to dilute the potential success of the injured parent's claim.
Yes, sir. I think in such a case, that would be good advice. But the two could be brought together. They appear to be more beneficial both to the parents and the children. Today, as I say, in the state of Ohio, the majority of cases have answered this question or a related question, at least in the negative. The only two exceptions I am aware of are our Court of Appeals decision in McAfee versus Bond, which involved a situation that was brought up earlier, in which the plaintiff, adult, was severely developmentally impaired and dependent upon her injured father for support and help in everyday life experiences. In that case, the court recognized a claim for loss of parental consortium, and the court in fact analogized that situation to one in such a claim brought on behalf of a minor. The other exception I'm aware of is a trial court decision, Philpott versus Pledger, in which in ruling on a motion for summary judgment, the trial judge recognized a claim substantially similar to the one presented to you today. With those exceptions, Ohio, Ohio law, to my understanding today, does not recognize such a claim. And that has been recognized in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals decision in Miller v. Curry, also cited in the party's briefs. I think that there's very strong reason for answering the question presented today in the negative. And that can be very simply stated. That is, that minors are different than adults. And because of that, the claims of minors or involving minors are different from claims involving adults. That differentiation has been eloquently described in many of the cases cited in our brief. Many of those involving cases, when minors were served as the loss of parental consortium. However, it was also well articulated in Justice Resnick's dissent in Hyde versus Howard, a dissent which was very instrumental in persuading the majority of this court to reverse course later on in Gallimore and recognize claims unrecognized previously.
Now, why wouldn't the reasons for that I put forth in the dissent in Hyde, because of the change in the definition of consortium today, why wouldn't it just be a natural progression to apply that to adult children?
I think there are two things, Your Honor, if I may. One is taken directly from your dissent, where you say, moreover, an adult is in a better position than a child to adjust to the loss of a family member's love, care, and companionship through his own resources. He is capable of developing new relationships in the hope of replacing some of the emotional warmth of which he has been deprived. That is one reason. An adult is just more capable of doing that. The second has to do with proof, a point that was raised earlier today. Today, it's been presumed that a minor suffers from a loss of consortium, parental consortium, because he's a minor. And I hate to belabor the point of dependency, but the fact is that a minor is more dependent than an adult upon his parents. That is most acute when a minor is an infant, and lessens with every year thereafter. After the child passes into adulthood, whether it be age 18 or age 21, if you do not have the operation of a presumption such as this, you get into all kinds of problems with proof. For example, in this case, how is the defendant able to prove or in any way take away from the claim of the plaintiffs that they did not have a close relationship with their parents? What does the defendant do? Does the defendant hire private detectives? Does it delve into the backgrounds of other people involved? Does it talk to neighbors, relatives? You get into problems with proof that you did not have when a minor is involved. So I think these two reasons provide very strong rationale for saying that once a person passes into adulthood, the claim is different. It no longer exists. When they're a minor, if a parent is injured, then there is a claim. When they're a minor, if the child is injured, then there's a claim on behalf of the parent. However, once the individual becomes an adult, that claim no longer exists.
Counsel, your last point, I think, is one worthy of serious consideration. That is the tricky nature of proving that some child's professed closeness is bogus. call it nature, but as we think of these parent-child relationships, and they're all necessarily different, but there'd be some commonality of life experiences of a jury would be able to absorb and assess. We can all agree that in many respects, a 14-year-old child is less dependent upon or less accepting of advice from a parent than a 30-year-old child.
Jesus.
It's just sort of part of growing up, or that some 30-year-old child is. Now that the consortium is involved in terms of how we view the aspects that the jury is committed to consider and move away from dependency, doesn't an 18-year-old demarcation line become less important in terms of assessing?
Two responses, Your Honor. One is having appeared before many of them, I greatly respect the ability of the jury to evaluate a case and decide one. I know that's the same. My point is that if it's harder than it hurts, the book is more attenuated if you result from the time becomes. It's easier in the case of a minor to become much more difficult in the case of an adult. The second point is, yes, I agree with you that there is some artificiality involved in saying that age 18 things are different. But this has been codified into our law. Our society recognizes that people are different in many respects after age 18. And in some of those respects, that differentiation is justified and some not. But nonetheless, society has determined that is a good rule to put in place. And I believe it would be a good rule to put in place here.
Counsel, with respect to Gallimore, just in terms of recalling back as best we can after a number of years, I believe at least for me personally, part of what made that step easier was the fact that the trial judge had actually allowed that issue to go to the jury, and we had a demonstration there that a jury was able to get their arms around it and put what appeared to be a sensible number on it. So, wherever we go with this, one of the concerns that I would have is that we would force this action to be recognized, to be brought with the parents' action so that defendants are not faced with a potential transit forever multiple litigation that they've then forked over some money just to avoid the cost of litigation.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Haber. Thank you. Mr. Belshine, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
I wanted to just comment on the one point that was brought up about the difficulty assessing damages either from a defense counsel or a jury. And we have these same issues with spousal consortium doing the same issues with minor consortium. They have the right to conduct discovery. Able counsel can certainly assess an adult child's testimony or a parent's testimony as the adequacy of a loss or whether or not a loss occurred. And Justice Douglas wrote in the Gallimore case, the difficulty in measuring damages for a parent's loss of filial consortium is no justification for denying the right to pursue the claim.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. The marshal, please adjourn court.